Hi, I'm Shersham Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Michelle in Cold Spring, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue.
No se le quiebra el pértigo, píquese buen con la blanca.
An avenue lined with trees, electric lights gleaming through the foliage. Among the houses to the left, a miserable all-night cafe with tables and chairs on the pavement. In front of the houses on the left, a dim lamppost. It is not long after midnight. Faintly from a distance, there comes the sound of a departing train. The man with the flower in his mouth is seated at one of the tables, silently observing the customer, who at a neighboring table is sipping a mint frappe through a straw.
So you missed your train?
Yes. I got to the station and there it was just pulling out.
You might have caught it by running.
I suppose I might. It's absurd, I know. If I hadn't been all cluttered up with all those packages, a dozen, more or less, I'd have caught it. Why? It took me 3 minutes after I got out of my taxi to get my fingers through the strings of all those packages. Oh. Two to every finger?
I should like to have seen you. You know what I would have done? Oh, I would have left the damn things in the carriage.
Oh. And when you got home, how about the old woman and my girls? Not to mention the neighbors.
Oh, let them yap. I would have enjoyed it.
But you don't know what it's like to be on holiday in the country with a bunch of women.
I think I do. In fact, I do.
And the
we've been running round. the dreams.
I'm being followed and pursued by something.
And I could feel that there was somebody behind.
I was running and I was being chased.
I'm running down the street, into a house, through the house.
Down the stairs.
Out the back.
And I was being chased.
Faster and faster.
And I ran for all I was worth.
My clothes were dragging me back.
I was running away.
I was running.
And I ran.
So I run along the corridor and I run up the stairs. I keep running up these stairs and round the corner. I sometimes run down the stairs into the corridor and I keep running and running and running.
My legs wouldn't go quick enough. I couldn't get my breath to call out.
I was running away. I was running very, very fast. Somehow I couldn't stop running.
I was running and I fell over the mountain.
There was a crocodile chasing me.
I was running.
There was a crocodile chasing me. I swam as fast as I could to get away from the crocodile. And the crocodile suddenly changed into a lion and then that changed into a tiger.
The animals really, I suppose, don't mean to chase me. But because I'm frightened and I run, they follow me up.
So I run along the corridor and I run up the stairs.
And some great monstrous shape walks towards me in the corridor.
And I run up the stairs.
And my legs wouldn't go quick enough.
And I keep running and running and running. Running and running and running.
Up a big slope. And my legs wouldn't go quick enough.
I was running and I was being chased.
There was somebody after me, chasing me. Up a big slope.
And I keep running and running and running. Running and running and running.
I couldn't get my breath to call out.
So I run along the corridor and I run up the stairs.
And some great monstrous shape walks towards me in the corridor.
I'm running down the street, into a house, through the house, out the back, over the somebody. I never see anybody. I know there's somebody behind me, probably, but I never see them.
It's neither a man or a woman. It's just an enormous black shape. It's just a mass of something, matter, coming towards me. A great, big, monstrous-looking mass, not a shape. Just filling up the corridor. But it's neither a man or a woman. It's just an enormous black shape in the corridor, filling up the corridor.
It's a crocodile chasing me.
I was running away.
As I ran faster, I seemed to battle against it even more. My clothes were dragging me back. My clothes were dragging me back.
I was running very, very fast. Somehow I couldn't stop running. I was running away.
My legs wouldn't go quick enough.
And I run up the stairs. The stairs are wide and stone. They're nasty stairs, institutional stairs. I keep running up these stairs and round the corner. I can't go right to the top. I just hide round the second corner. Hoping no one will see me, and then if I hear somebody, I sometimes run down the stairs into the corridor. And all the time, this terrible fear that I'm only in my white liberty bodice, only in my liberty bodice.
I'm being followed and pursued by something.
I'm never quite sure what it is. This feeling of running down a staircase. I can still see the staircase, a very wide staircase in an old house. Big carved banisters. They go down in short flights. At the end of each flight, there's a large stained glass window, and I run down the stairs faster and faster, and the something which is following gets nearer and nearer, and I don't know what it is. I have the feeling that it's something which is about to envelop me in some way. It's just this feeling of being followed and pursued. I'm running down a corridor. I'm being followed and pursued by something.
I could feel that there was somebody behind, and I was being chased. And I ran for all I was worth till I got to the edge of the cliff. And just as I was getting to the edge of the cliff, I couldn't remember anymore.
I can see this corridor stretching into the distance, the perspective of it just fading into absolute nothingness.
I couldn't remember anymore.
I was running very, very fast. Somehow I couldn't stop running. I came to the edge of a great big cliff.
And just as I was getting to the edge of the cliff,
I couldn't get my breath to call out. I went up, right up to the top, over the other side, and hung on to the cliff.
I could feel that there was somebody behind.
It was some form of beast, it was some form of great ape, and it was loping along, and it was making a noise, an uncanny noise, and my clothes were dragging me back as if I'd been in the water, and my clothes were heavy, and they're becoming heavier, and they're being held by the streams of wind. As I ran faster, I seemed to battle against it even more, and it seemed more difficult to stay on this edge. It was very dark all the way round, and it was a very sharp edge. I knew that if I watched and kept breathing properly, I could keep on the top of this ridge.
Then I sort of felt myself falling over the cliff.
I was falling.
Falling over the cliff. Falling over a cliff.
Yeah. whenever you move and you find yourself like integrating into another culture, you understand the way people move differently, speak differently, act differently, have different jokes, you know. It's really good for a human to grow. I always knew I was gonna write. Every time I travel, I meet myself a little more. Sometimes you have to leave all your cities to fall in love. And now I am time zones apart from most of my lovers, some lives apart from the others. I just sit down and let it all come out. And I always trust the way it hits the page as well. The process is not really having a process, it's just sitting there and letting it. I like the city because I'm very quiet and I like my own space, you know, quite isolated sometimes. The proximity of people is really good for me. I'm obsessed by water. I'm really afraid of it. Like, I don't know how to swim, even though I've learned twice. People want to see themselves on the water.
A lot of selfies. Can you recite one of your poems?
Yeah, sure. Thank goodness I have nearly unlearned folding my desire inside myself, being afraid to claim it.
What are you afraid of?
Oh, I think I'm most afraid of not doing as much as I possibly can with the time that I'm given.
It's a mix of feeling that you're going to die and you didn't do it.
Yeah, and I haven't done it. And I'm like, no, I need to get this stuff done. I need to, you know, make something of myself. Freedom means it's one of the elements you need to be rich. It's one of the elements you need to be happy. It's what we're constantly in search of, I think.
Where in the world you feel you belong?
I kind of carry my belongings, like, not physical belongings, but my belongings with me. So I feel at home right now because I feel together. It's been a long time coming, but I feel together, so I feel at home right now.
I'm standing on an embankment. I'm very high up. I'm looking down on a landscape, on a vast landscape. It's all dry.
It's a scene that one would never see or never has seen in one's life.
It looks like the moon because it's all dried up. It's a very funny red. It's like the moon.
It was the atmosphere, it was the air, the freshness of it all. And as I looked, I could see the mountains. They seemed to be round me and yet far from me, as though I was somewhere that was so high and so very fresh, a freshness that I've never felt before. It seemed to be in a foreign country.
And in the distance, a black cliff. A big towering black cliff.
The scene is always sort of rather grey and dark, rather misty.
And then the sun began to come up over the mountain. So the sun began to rise. And instead of being mist and fog, there was a most glorious sunshine and a beautiful sea.
And I saw this very deep blue sky and these beautiful white clouds. They weren't rain clouds. Beautiful white clouds were mounting, mounting, mounting.
and that was the whole scenery.
It's a scene that one would never see or never has seen in one's life.
I can remember a great big blue feeling of clouds, blue sky and clouds.
I went over lots of fields of things I seem to remember. Lots of fields of things.
And there was a very deep blue sea. I could hear this voice. This woman singing. I couldn't hear what she was singing. It was a foreign voice. But her words were clear, although I couldn't speak the language that she was singing. Her words were clear. I knew that I was somewhere foreign. Seemed to be in a foreign country.
It looks like the moon because it's all dried up. It's a very funny red.
Getting hazier and hazier.
It's the colour of Earth, but the red is kind of a terracotta red. The whole of this landscape, the whole of this surface of the land is broken up and dried up like a riverbed, as though it's made of clay. All of it is cracked. It's just like the moon. It's all dried up and cracked into hundreds and thousands of cracks and holes. It's like the moon. It's red. The whole of the surface of this land is red.
Getting hazier and hazier.
The colour of clay, I suppose. Yes, it's the colour of clay, and it's all broken and cracked over, rather like a clay pot or something like this, and the sun has dried the whole of this surface. It's just like the moon. And in the distance, a black cliff. Big towering black cliff.
And I looked into the distance, and as I looked, so the sun began to rise, began to come up over the mountain. Glorious sunshine. And I looked into the distance.
And I could hear this voice, this woman singing. I couldn't hear what she was singing. It was a foreign voice. I knew that I was somewhere foreign. Seemed to be in a foreign country. And I saw this very deep blue sky. This very deep blue sky. And there was a very deep blue sea.
Listening to WGXC Radio for Open Ears. I'm Alana, your host. Thanks for listening. This is There There on the fourth Sunday of every month from 7 to 8 p.m. here in the broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the woods of the Mid-Hudson Valley, New York State. WGXC broadcasts around the world online at WGXC.org and at 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties, and a little bit in Ulster and Rensselaer and Albany, perhaps Dutchess. Thanks so much for listening. You know, I was thinking about how I've been doing this show for several years now, and I really have no idea who is listening or not. That's kind of part of the dreamlike magic of doing this, these kinds of broadcasts. You never know who's out there, who's in their car driving down 9W, catching a few minutes of a strange rambling broadcast, or sitting at home doing work with their radio on or at their job. So anyone who listens, whether you've been listening for years or, you know, just turned it on for the first time, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. If you appreciate what we do here at WGXC, you can always donate or become a sustaining supporter at wgxc.org/donate. You can also find the archives for all the shows at wgxc.org. There is also an app that you can use. It's an iPhone app you can use to stream live broadcasts and archives. Very nice app. You can find that app on your iPhone by searching for Wavefarm or WGXC. So what have we heard today? We're on a little bit of a journey. That was, I've played two tracks from the album called Dreams, or recording called Dreams, by Delia Derbyshire and Barry Bermange. This is from way back in 1964. She was creating the sounds and the music, and Barry Bermange had been doing interviews, recording interviews with people about their dreams and cutting that together. So we just heard Land, and before, a little bit earlier, we heard Running. We also heard a short piece from the Nowness video channel called Rambling. It's a series called Rambling where they talk to authors. It was Yrsa Daly Ward in 2018 talking about her work and traveling. And we heard an instrumental piece, well, a little short bit called Figure It Out for Yourself, and then after that an instrumental piece called Drum Mode, which is by Jean-Michel Basquiat and Ramelzi. I don't know how to say Ramelzi. I think that's right. This was from an act that they had together called Gray. And this recording came out in 1983. Really cool stuff. I didn't know that he had done that. And let's see. We also heard some of Sea Feel, Rough Radio from the BBC Peel Session recording in 1994. We heard a very short excerpt from the play The Man with the Flower in His Mouth, radio play Pirandello, at the very beginning, which got cut off on purpose. And let's see, I may be forgetting one. Oh, we heard Susie and the Banshees doing a cover of the Roxy Music song called, and you know what, I didn't write it down, so I'm forgetting what it is. You'll remember because you heard it, maybe. See something. Okay. Anyway, trying to keep it together here. Again, this is There on WGXE. I'm Alana, your host. I'm here until 8 o'clock when Tony Fallon takes over with the Irish show. I'm having a good time. And we're going to just keep going in our little dream journey. Let's see what's next. Oh, yes, a little bit more rambling with Eileen Miles.
Thank you. I like to think, but not about where I'm going. I like to think. The city is language. There's so much more punctuation. There's so many conversations. There's so many interventions. There's so many overheard things. There's so many signs. It's just all other people, and there's just like so much collision. And I think that's how I learned to write, you know? It's like often nothing happens when you stay still. I always feel like I write something out of a transition of some sort, you know, like coming into my apartment thinking another day in which I haven't done any writing. And then that thought fills me with like anxiety, and I walk in and I write something. When I write poems, when I figured out that you could jump in poems like you jump in movies from scene to scene, you can just go bang. You know, it's just like there's no wall. And when I realized that when I was writing stories, rather than worrying about narrative of a plot, I could just think of it as a movie and start in a place and then watch what happens. I mean, like a poem is just a list. It's a kind of sharing. It's just an exploration of the filing system of your brain as it moves through space and time. You know, there's plenty of holes for you to think about other things. Write a line or two and stop. Just to really be trusting the mechanism of desire in a way, you know, desire for certain language to kind of sit over some curve of a moment. It'll be like, one egg is better than two because of all the longing it leaves. Where's that going? I'll just get a line, and then a few days later I'll get another line, and I'll just be in a mode where that's how it's happening, and maybe this is adding up to a poem, or maybe it's just a ton of garbage. People talk about their poetic voice, but it's like, this is how I speak. In no form of excited speech do we anticipate that everybody's hearing every single word. People get excited, people drop words, people don't speak in complete sentences, people drop, stop, and start, and there's spaces. And I think the American language is really violent. In the 90s, I was running for president, so I was walking down my block, and then some lady on the street said, "What's going on?" And I said, "I'm running for president." And she looked at me for a minute, and she goes, "President of what?" At this moment, which is so completely horrible in America, like I'll turn my head and I have a political poem, you know, and it's like, boom. And this one is called Creep. Ugly nightmare, eating too much, dunking your head in water over and over again. Feel bad for your kid, all of them, but most of all, us. Bad nights when I was young and drinking, predatory men with swollen heads would buy me drinks and want to again and again because I was nothing to them, and he is our president now. I guess we can walk this way. So it seems so important both to write in the language that is most practical and playful and immediate, and also to read as yourself and not become some other creature. Sometimes I'll have a new idea, like I'll just think, I just want to have whatever the order or the meaning of this poem be so slight that it's almost meaningless. It's just like, whatever rigor there is hardly there, but it's just, for some reason, an image I've been obsessed with lately is like when you're in a pool and there's like a blow-up raft. And when you give it a little shove, just a tiny little shove, and then you watch it just move across the whole pool like magic. And I kind of like that being the kind of the level of rigor or craft that I put into a poem, you know? Just kind of, just a tiny shove and then see what it does. You can kind of tell when a poem is finished when it's really stopped moving. I'm often just waiting for things to end, and so even when I'm writing a poem, it's just like, you know, it's a sexual experience in a way, and it's sort of like, so you don't want to get out too soon, but, and you don't want to stay in too long, and so you're kind of, and you don't, you know, and you know how to get out, but you don't want to get out the way you always get out, because anybody that knows your work is ready for it. So it's just like a funny kind of pool game with exit, you know, and just like when you know, and it's kind of a breathtaking feeling when you realize, oh my God, I can end it right here. That's really funny, you know. A lot of it is joking for me. It's just like amusing myself with how I pull that off, you know. Yeah.
Passenger, and I ride. colored. All colored.
I remember my dreams by the color they are.
The colors that you see in churches. Bright blues and yellows and reds.
Blue and yellow and green. Red and green and blue and orange.
The colors that you see in churches.
Green. Yellow. Orange.
Grays and greens.
Red.
Black. Green. Black and blue and green. Sometimes it is blue and sometimes it is green.
It's just vivid green.
It's red. Kind of a terracotta red. Red.
Black.
Black.
Black and white.
White.
Silver. Glittering silver.
Orange. Yellow.
Bluey colors. Bluey greeny colors.
White, gray, blue,
black, red and blue and green and yellow and orange. Not distinct color, but merging together to give a blurred, vivid pattern.
There's a very large stained glass window through which the sun shines. The window takes up the whole of the wall, and it's bright blues and yellows and reds, the colors that you see in churches. The sun shines through and provides the only light. But what the picture is on the window, I don't know. I just have this knowledge of the colors in it and the sun shining through.
All colored.
And the sun shining through.
And it was all colors like the rainbow, as if there was a light shining behind it.
The sun shines through and provides the only light.
As if there was a light shining behind it. All of a sudden, I saw a cloud of spray. The water was colored with blue and yellow and green, but the colors all merged together like a sheet, a whole sheet, a glowing sheet of color. The colors not distinct, but merging all into one, giving an effect of a rainbow effect. A great spray, a silent spray, rising from the river, and behind it, a mass of colour, red and blue and green and yellow and orange, not distinct colour, but merging together to give a blurred, vivid pattern.
I can see green. Lush green. Green all around me, green in the foreground, green as far as I can see, getting hazier and hazier, and then meeting the blue sky coming up above. That's about the only other color I can see. But there's lush green leaves in front of me, there's browny green down the valleys, there's dust making it not quite as green in different parts, but all around is just nothing but green. I can't see anything else. It's just vivid green.
It's red. It's a very funny red. Red. The heart was red. A very funny red. And it would dip into the water, and they were sort of bluey colors, bluey greeny colors. And it would dip into the water.
No reflection in the water. It's very still, it's flat.
The wetness brings out the colour. It's just a puddle in a gravel drive. And lying quite still are these leaves, green and yellow, orange. Only two or three, not overlapping, just separate leaves in a small puddle with the gravel around the edge, dark gravel near the edge, and then pale, bluey, harsh gravel where it's dry. It's just a few leaves lying separately, green, yellow, orange, autumn leaves, not moving, just lying with dark edge where it's wet. It's very still, it's flat, no reflection in the water. The leaves are wet. The wetness brings out the colour. No reflection. It's just like the moon. It's the colour of earth, but the red is kind of a terracotta red. The whole of the surface is red. It's the colour of clay, I suppose. Yes, it's the colour of clay, and the sun has dried the whole of this surface. It's just like the moon.
Everything was black and white and sound natural.
Just like the moon.
Black.
Black. White.
I'm the waiter in a cocktail party. I'm wearing a white jacket and black trousers and black tie. And everybody in the cocktail party is in black suits and black ties, white shirts. All the ladies are in black and white.
Black. White.
Silver. The glasses are silver, glittering silver. There seems to be no colour at all. There is no colour at all. There seems to be no colour at all, as far as I can see.